In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
It's true. People can have very short and very selective memories, and politicians depend on that. They depend on you not remembering what they did to you, your business, your schools, and your churches, or for that matter, what they've done to inflation and the economy. They especially hope you don't remember what they tried to do to your rights. Your right to free speech, as the government conspired with the media and social media to censor anyone who questioned their mandates, the science of COVID, anything, any speech that might encourage people, in their view, to disobey the government. Well, that's not how it works in America. The government is supposed to obey the people, and the government is certainly supposed to obey the Constitution, and that means defending our rights, not attacking them. And of course, that was just at the beginning of the Joe Biden-Kamala Harris administration. By the end, they rewrote Title IX to remove all protections for girls and women in sports and education in favor of biological men. They sent out the FBI to spy on school board meetings and arrest Christians who didn't like woke teachers pushing pornography and transgenderism on their children. By the end of this administration, they are now pushing an ideology that would remove children from parents who won't let the state tell them how to raise their children and what they ought to believe. People in general, but Christians as well, will think of all sorts of excuses not to do something. Well, that's not why you're here. God put you here to do something. There are no perfect candidates, but there are definitely candidates who are better for the issues important to you. But to get them into office, you need to do something. Vote. Get others to vote, and don't be silent. If you're one of those Christians considering staying in the pew rather than getting to the voting booth, I hope this show will convince you otherwise. More so, I hope it will help you to encourage other Christians to also go vote. To talk about should Christians vote, why they don't vote, and how do we get Christians to vote, I'd like to welcome Pastor Lou Wooten to the show. He is the pastor for River Church in Salem, an evangelical non-denominational church. Their website is theriverNW.com. Pastor Lou, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us a bit about yourself and the River Church.
Yeah, I'm Pastor Lou of the River Church. I've been in ministry for 40 years. And the River Church started 10 years ago in Salem, Oregon. And we're located in Hayesville area and have just been involved in many areas of the community to see change come to our community.
Well, I know you guys have a lot of different ministries there at the church and have gone to a couple of your Freedom Business Fellowships, which I absolutely love that you guys do that. I know you guys offer some civic studies, and so it seems pretty clear to me that you're not of the mindset that Christians need to be wallflowers and stay out of things, but should be fully engaged in society, correct?
I totally agree. You know, Jesus, when he talked about the parable of the talents, he told the servants to occupy or to do business until he comes. And so I believe that God wants us as believers to be involved more than not be involved.
Well, I absolutely agree with that. And as it happened, I was having an online discussion with somebody on X about Christians being involved, and he didn't think that they should be. And I mentioned that, the parable of the talents. But anyway, we'll come back around to that if we have time. But I got to ask you, just to kind of get a flavor of your mindset here, is America, you think, are we involved in a spiritual war right now?
We've always been involved in a spiritual war. From the day Jesus rose from the dead, there's been a spiritual war, you know, and even before. Since the fall of man in the garden, there's been a spiritual war between, you know, good and evil. And that has to do with, you know, the tree and eating from the tree. And I think people still want to determine what is right and wrong for their own life. And until there's a surrendering to Christ, there's not an understanding of how to submit our will to God and allow him to define what is right and wrong in our life, which is called righteousness. So we end up with a self-righteous community, which is very much America, has become a very self-righteous place. even within religion itself, in not allowing God to do what God wants to do. When you have Christians agreeing that abortion is a good thing, there's something wrong with our spiritual atmosphere.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, of course, America was founded on Christian principles, and it's I think America can be such a tremendous force for good based on the fact that we were founded on Christian principles.
Yeah. And it has been a force for good. You know, the majority of every mission and, you know, humanitarian support comes out of America.
Yeah, absolutely.
Around the world.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the topic for today is getting Christians out there to vote, because it's shocking to hear that millions of Christians, in fact, one study found that up to 73 million Christians between born-again Christians and also just regular churchgoers may sit out this election. And I'm rather shocked at that. I've always been civically involved. I've come up through evangelical churches, and I believe in being involved, and I'm always surprised to hear that somebody doesn't believe that. So what is your perspective? Should Christians be out there voting?
Well, absolutely, they should be out voting. And I have just even practical things, not even biblical things. You know, like for the fact that you would watch America's Got Talent, and you would call in and you would vote for somebody's talent, but yet you're unwilling to vote for the president of the United States. There's something that's wrong. You know, you have committees in churches that vote for their next pastor or vote whether a cake wins a prize, but yet you can't vote for your local congressman or Senate leader or city councilman or president of the United States. There's something wrong there.
Yes. Well, you know, we're
and that's just the practical side, not even the biblical side. I can get into scripture and everything else of why we should be involved.
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, you look at Proverbs 29, verse 2, it says, when the righteous thrive, the people rejoice, and when the wicked rule, the people groan. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that as the church goes, so does the world. And so if you see the people groaning, it's because the righteous have not stood up to take their place, whether it is running for government, being involved in government, or taking a stand against unrighteousness. And so you see a big gaslighting that happens with Christians. And I think the biggest thing that came into the church is two big things. One is that we will make a difference by how we live our life. And then the other one is evangelize and, if necessary, use words. Those two things have emasculated the church and caused the church to not be a... the leader that it's called to be, because God called the church to lead. He didn't call the church to just sit back and let life pass them by. So either through, and even if you go into Bible schools today, there's more of a liberal arts teaching of ministry. Don't hurt anybody's feelings, even though the Bible's very clear that, you know, his word's a double-edged sword. Jesus said that I didn't come to bring peace. I've come to divide truth from lies. We're afraid to offend. We're afraid to make people upset. And America is beautifully set up to where we can have a conversation and not agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's how it was originally set up, is that we can actually have a conversation about something and actually not agree, but yet still be Americans.
Yeah, and not get arrested for it either, which is always a nice thing. So, okay, let's go ahead and take a break. We're talking about getting Christians out into the voting booth there, getting them out of the pews. We're doing that with Pastor Lou Wooten of the River Church in Salem. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. The River Church in Salem is one of the more active churches out there. They are an evangelical, non-denominational church. They're out on Portland Road in Salem if you want to go visit. And you can also check out their website, therivernw.com. TheRiverNW.com. And as always, we'll put that and other links on this week's show page on iSpyRadio.com. Today's show is 14-42. And we're talking to their pastor, Lou Wooten, and on the subject of getting Christians out of the pew and into the voting booth. And so we talked about should Christians vote, and let's maybe talk about why they don't vote. What are some things that you hear as to why Christians just refuse to get out there and vote?
Well, number one thing is that we have a whole community, I believe, a whole community of Christians that have been sold a bill of goods, and that it's separation of church and state. that the church should have no say at all of what goes on in U.S. government. And that came around in the 1950s when there was a big movement towards the return of Christ, you know, be clean and touch no one or touch no unclean thing, you know, separate yourself and touch no unclean thing. And we started pulling out of government. We pulled out of the judicial system. We pulled out of the schools. We pulled out of the government.
Right.
Because the church was too worldly. So there was that whole movement there. So we advocated, or we gave away our authority. And then you start seeing in the 70s, 80s, 90s, this riff in the church of we should probably be back involved, especially in the 2000, 2020. The church needs to be reengaged back in civil rights because we're losing our rights. And so then there's this riff, and people argue it to this day, separation of church and state, separation of church and state. Well, is the state run by the people for the people, or is it an organization?
That's
and the answer
right.
is it's by the people and for the people. And is the church an organization, or is it about people? And Jesus was very clear that the church is the people. The church is not a building. So how do you separate people from people?
Hmm.
You can't. So as an American citizen, I'm a person that is a believer in Christ. And as that, I have a civil duty to vote on a righteous conscience. If I don't vote, then I have two votes against righteousness. Because I don't vote, and somebody else is going to take my spot. And then the other thought is, my vote doesn't count anyways. You know, it's just the will of God. Well, if that's the case, then go down to the freeway, go down to the interstate, and start driving at 80 miles an hour, hop over in the passenger seat, and let Jesus take the wheel, because that's just his will.
Yeah.
God gave us a will. He gave us authority. He's the one that said, all authority that was being given me, I give to you. And so we have authority to make decisions based off of right and wrong. People make decisions all day long on what they're going to eat, where they're going to stay, what they're going to drive, where they're going to go. But yet we can't make a decision concerning how our nation is governed. No, it doesn't work that way. And what we have is we have freedom that we've taken for granted. What we have in America is very, very special, and people don't see it that way. They think the rest of the world has what we have, and they don't.
Mm-mm.
You know, other nations don't have what we have, and but Americans are the one that's giving up the right to vote, and so, and the majority of those are Christians, 51% or whatever it is that isn't going to vote for this election, and people vote off of a personality. The next thing is they vote off a personality. I don't like Trump. He's arrogant. Okay. Well, then what are the policies that you're actually asking for? Because you have somebody that's very anti-church, very anti-God.
Yes.
That's wanting to get into office. Very anti-America, doesn't want America, wants to get rid of the Constitution of the United States. And, but people are moved by an emotion. I like her better than I like him. This isn't America's Got Talent or The Voice. This isn't somebody winning an award. This is somebody that's going to make decisions, not just for us, but for nations,
mm-hmm.
of whether we go to war or not, or we don't go to war, or whether we take care of our own nation or we're taking care of other nations. And you can't sit there as a Christian and just say, I'm going to let God figure that out. God gave you a brain, and God gave you a will to be able to enact and make an informed decision on what is right and wrong for our community, both in Oregon. The election in Oregon right now is the most important election in Oregon, I think, that we've ever had. We're one seat away from the Democrats having a super majority, which means our taxes are going to go up to 60 to 70% in Oregon. It's a real deal, and this is what I tell people. I'm voting for my kids. I've got a 15-year-old or 16-year-old and a 7-year-old. I'm voting for my kids and my kids' kids that they have a place in this nation that I had. And I don't want them to not have those freedoms taken from them, that they can't live a life free from tyranny. I don't want to have to teach my kids how to survive in the woods. I want them to be able to thrive. And that's what's got to change.
Yeah. Well, you know, Reagan so famously said, we're always just one generation away from losing our freedoms.
And yeah. It's shocking that a lot of this next generation just doesn't see that. And as you said earlier, they just assume that all of the rest of the world has these kinds of rights rather than seeing America for the unique experiment that it is, especially one that's been founded on Christian ideology. I've seen some articles out there as to why Christians should not vote. And this one in particular had 10 reasons, but one in particular jumped out is that it says that we are called to be separate from the world, and that means that we shouldn't vote.
Yeah.
Well, that's true, but true that we need to be separate from the world, but it means different, not removed and disengaged from it. I mean, when Christians become Christians, they don't become invisible ghosts. We're meant to be lights to the world.
Yeah, I mean, Matthew 5:13-16 says, "You are a salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl." No, we are actually called to stand out. If we believe that God is who he says that he is and he's sovereign, then we should be number one in government. We should be number one in business. We should be number one in schools. We should be number one in finances. We should be number one in everything. We should be leading the way on way things are done.
Yes.
God never set Israel to be less than. He set Israel to be the head and not the tail, to be above and not beneath. Jesus didn't die on the cross for us to be silent. He didn't die on the cross and yell out, you know, "It is finished." Why did he even say it's finished? Because we have a voice of that finished work of Christ on the cross. And that does include elections.
Yeah.
All of that. We should have a voice in every area of our community. It's like I said, if you can vote in a pastor in your congregation or vote a pastor out, then why can't you? That's just as worldly as the world is, because the Bible is very clear. You don't get to vote out your gift that's been given to you.
Right.
But we do it.
Yep.
And
well, we should not just be a voice, but we definitely need to be the leading voice in this society.
Yeah.
Okay, we do need to take a break. Everyone stay with us. Coming up, how do we get those Christians to vote? Stay with us. And welcome back. We're talking today to Pastor Lou Wooten. He is the pastor of the River Church here in Salem. You can just go to their website, which is theriverNW.com. That's theriverNW.com. And we'll put that up on today's show page on iSpyRadio.com. 14-42 is the show. And so in the time that we have left, I really want to focus on how do we get Christians to vote? I mean, I know that your church is very active out there in a lot of different areas of civics and stuff. So how does your church actively encourage Christians to vote?
Well, you know, one of the things that helps me is that our church is not a 501c3. Mm. And churches don't have to be tax exempt. And that's another fallacy. So when they come in and say, "You can't talk about politics," actually, I can talk about anything. That's one. The other one is like, we're putting a drop box in the church lobby to receive ballots.
That's awesome.
To get Christians to vote, you have to educate people. You have to share with them, you know, that they have a duty to really, and I when I begin to talk about people and they're saying, "Well, I don't believe in voting," and I ask them if they have kids or grandkids, and do they want this America? Do they want what's going on right now? Then they've got to make a vote or a change. And I encourage people to educate people concerning what is right and what is wrong, what is happening and what isn't happening, because most people have no idea. Mm. Most people have no idea, you know, on what measure to vote on. You know, you've got measure 15, which is a yes, because that makes it so that we can, get rid of the governor if we have to, or any official. We don't have that right now. We're the only state in the union that cannot do that.
Yeah.
So 15 is a yes. 17 is a no, because that has to do with a phony tax that comes in. You're going to pay $2,100 to get $1,500. Then there is the ranked choice voting, which is a no. That's 118 and 119. All three of those are no's. And it's educating of why, how come, and what for. Most people don't have any idea what they're even voting on.
Yeah.
They watch a commercial. They listen to CNN News or MSNBC or Fox News. And I tell people to stop doing that also. Educate yourself. Find out what's right and what's wrong. There's enough information out there that you can watch that will begin to educate you of what's really going on in our society and the things that are really going on behind closed doors that you don't even know. So education and encouragement. You know, we have a QR code that we put up, and I encourage people to register to vote. You know, in Oregon, if you're not registered, you can't be in the primaries. You can't vote in the primaries in Oregon, and you can only vote according to your party. So I encourage people to get registered. And then as a church, I believe the churches, pastors need to be a little bit more, what's the right word so that I'm politically correct? Bold. They need more bold behind the pulpit and not be afraid of losing their 501c3 because they can't take it from you anyways, to speak up against things that are unrighteous. I don't tell people how to vote. I educate them on, you know, on what's going on. And I dedicated a whole Sunday service to it last Sunday on this is what you're voting on and this is what they're proposing and why they're proposing it.
Well, getting back to why some Christians don't vote, in that article that I mentioned earlier, 10 Reasons Why They Shouldn't, they had also had this argument is that there's no worthy candidate. I hear a lot of people saying that, well, I just don't like either candidate and stuff. Well, it's not about liking the candidate. It's not a personality. It's about you are giving somebody legal control over your life, including your church. But it's also, it's kind of a odd mindset because Christians know that we're not perfect. There's no perfect Christians out there. So then why do Christians expect perfect candidates?
Because they have been gaslighted in that elections reveal the will of man. The Bible reveals the will of God. So people, if you think that they're evil, then change things. Get involved.
Yes.
Go into local government. If you think that you're more righteous than the person that's being elected, then get involved.
That's right.
Don't sit there and complain about their personality. You know, like right now, this is my personal opinion, that if a block of cheese was running against Kamala, I would endorse a block of cheese. Because it's so anti-American, what is coming up. And I told my people this, that if you want your pastor arrested in the next 4 years, go ahead and vote the other line, because they're making the Bible hate speech.
Yes, and if people don't think and that's possible, it happened up in Canada, which allegedly has free speech,
right?
But yeah, they're being arrested. Exactly right.
I've got friends that have been thrown into solitary confinement as domestic terrorists in Canada. There's no representation at all. I'll be arrested as a domestic terrorist because I preach against unrighteousness. And I won't have a lawyer. I won't have a court date.
Yeah. Well, and it's
I won't have visitation.
And it's not just pastors that are speaking out. You've got a situation where parents can have their kids taken away. That's already law down in California, that if you don't agree with this transgender nonsense, then you can have your kids taken away. So
that actually is already in play in Oregon.
Yes, it is.
Right. They tried to get it into HB 2002B. That part got taken out. But they want that. I mean, it was very clear. I mean, you had Kamala Harris that stood up and said, "Your children belong to us."
Yes. Yeah.
And right now in our state, right now, that's what they believe. That's why, you know, you only 10 years old, you can have an abortion without parental consent.
That's right. And those people making those decisions, they're not out there Bible believing Christians. That's why they're making the decisions and passing the laws that they are. So. Got to get involved. All right. Well, Pastor Lou, unfortunately, we're up against the clock. I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking about getting Christians engaged this year, getting them out of the pew and into the voting booth. A recent study uncovered that there could be as many as 73 million Christians who may choose to sit out this election, and that far exceeds the margin of victory in 2020. We just got done talking with Pastor Lou Wooten of the River Church in Salem to get a Protestant evangelical perspective. Now we'd like to get the Catholic perspective on getting Christians engaged in politics, especially voting. So I'd like to welcome Tommy Valentine, the director of the Catholic Accountability Project at Catholic Vote, the nation's largest lay Catholic advocacy organization. Tommy, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, so tell us a bit about your organization, Catholic Vote.
Well, as you mentioned, we're the largest lay Catholic advocacy organization, and what that means for your non-Catholic listeners is that we are not clergy. So we work very much in concert with the bishops, and we love our bishops, and we support them, and we recognize them as the apostolic successors of Christ. But we also recognize that there is a duty of non-ordained people, of ordinary Catholics in the pews, to get out and represent the Catholic faith in the public square. So we have a media arm. We have a daily email newsletter that reaches 700,000 subscribers every morning, along with news throughout the day. We have a lobbying arm where we work in D.C. and state legislatures. We work in elections to mobilize Catholics to vote. And we work with different allied groups, many evangelical groups, even some Jewish and Muslim and other faith groups, and lots of secular groups, too. So we have our hand in many different pots, and we kind of go where the fight is. So many of your listeners may remember last year the Los Angeles Dodgers honored a really repulsive anti-Catholic hate group. And that story was actually originally broken by our organization, and then we launched an ad campaign and a PR blitz, and we I think we won that fight. So many of your listeners will probably remember that, because that was not just a Catholic issue. Mm. They were really disrespecting Christians of all stripes. And right. So that's the sort of thing where if there's a fight, we'll go fight it.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned that you work with other faiths, and I should expand on that figure. That study that had found that 73 million Christians may be sitting out found that in total 104 million people of faith may be sitting out this election. And that's just really shocking to hear that. So your bio says that you help lead Catholic Vote's efforts to keep a watchful eye on Catholic institutions and politicians, as well as defending Catholics in the public square. So I kind of have to ask you this, because this has always bugged me. How do politicians, whether it's Biden or Pelosi or even RFK Jr., who all claim to be good Catholics, but they advocate for abortion rights, how do they square that?
That's right. Well, the short answer is that they don't square it. You know, there's no argument to be made to accept those things and be a practicing Catholic. Mm. So that's one of the things we work on is holding Catholic politicians accountable. Because, you know, the interesting thing that's really shifted over the last few years is that you would have politicians like, take, for example, John Kerry in 2004, or Tim Kaine, vice presidential nominee in 2016, yes, who would at least acknowledge the conflict, right? They would say, well, I'm personally pro-life as a Catholic. I would never want it for my own daughter. I wouldn't advise anybody to get an abortion. But as a matter of public policy, I think that, you know, abortion should be legal and it's between a woman and her doctor, right? That's the basic argument they would make, where that doesn't hold any weight morally, right? It's morally incoherent. It doesn't make any sense. But at least they acknowledge that there's a conflict. But then you have people like Nancy Pelosi and more recently like Joe Biden, who won't even acknowledge that there is a conflict. Joe Biden was actually seemed to really struggle with the issue over the course of decades that he was in the Senate. He actually voted for certain pieces of pro-life legislation. He always voted to prohibit taxpayer funding of abortion. He voted for the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act. He had at least some common sense on the issue, but the Democrat Party has really abandoned people of faith in general and Catholics especially. And so in order to win the nomination in 2020, he really abandoned a lot of those vestiges of pro-life support. And it's really sad to see a man who is quite frankly towards the end of his life. Now, you know, he could live another 20 years or so, and we hope he does, but a man of his stature and a man who served for so long to really sell out anything that was left of a Catholic position towards the end of that was really sad to see. So the church has been clear for 2,000 years. You know, right. Christians point to the Didache, published, I believe, in the 70s AD, that was the first explicit prohibition against abortion, and the Catholic Church has always stood strongly against it. And then, you know, we've worked, the Catholic Church, a lot of people credit it with keeping the pro-life movement alive in the United States. Because if you look at countries like the UK, France, other places that don't really have a strong pro-life movement, and that's because there just wasn't an appetite to keep it going. And in sort of the lean years of the 70s and 80s, you know, before Reagan really came along and gave a voice to the pro-life movement,
yes.
There weren't many people talking about the issue. And there was a lot of Catholics at the forefront working alongside our Protestant brothers and sisters and people alongside other forms of the faith that really worked to keep this alive issue. And so it's really disheartening to see Catholic politicians who blatantly contradict our yes. faith on the issue. And that's one of the things that we call attention to, and we work very, very strongly on that issue.
I would imagine that would be very disheartening, especially when somebody has a very prominent role, whether it's Biden or RFK Jr. You know, although it was interesting a few months back, he was called out for his comments on a podcast where he appeared to be endorsing late-term abortions. And when people pointed out to him that these are viable babies, he was shocked. He said that he didn't know that. He always had just assumed that when there is a late-term abortion, it was due to medical reasons, and it wasn't just a simply elective one because she just didn't want the baby anymore. So RFK has now reversed his opinion on that. So that's good to see, I thought. So one of the things that I have always admired about Catholics is a firm belief in the spiritual and supernatural side of things, whether you're talking miracles and angels, but also the realization of the darker side of that spiritual realm, that there's true evil out there and demonic possession and all the rest. I look at what has become of America, and if we're at the point of making mutilating children acceptable, I don't think you can look at this any other way than to see that we are, in fact, at war. Is that how your organization and the Catholic Church itself sees things, that we are, in fact, going through a spiritual battle right now in America?
Absolutely. And really, this is nothing new, right? I mean, the scripture speaks of princes and principalities, and we are not of this world. And there's just all sorts of things all over scripture that point to more going on, and that, you know, we're influenced by all sorts of things, but that it's ultimately up to us as human beings to choose a side, right? And so there's definitely a spiritual battle going on. I think there's a deep spiritual sickness in this country. Frankly, I think a lot of the reason why we're so divided on matters of politics is that a lot of people have abandoned religion, and they think that they're just, you know, they're atheists, they don't need religion, they don't need to be anything particular. But I think we're seeing that people will choose something of their religion, and you never really give up that instinct. And I think, frankly, a lot of people on the left have adopted politics as their religion. And so that's why I think a lot of Christians, part of what the topic you were getting at before, in that a lot of Christians don't vote, is that we don't find our fulfillment in politics, right? We believe that politics are essential to shaping the world and creating a world in which we can live and to serve the least of these. But at the end of the day, that's not where we take our strength and meaning in life, right? We take our meaning from our faith, knowing that this is not the end, knowing that we have a duty and a responsibility to our children. We take fulfillment from our families. And when a lot of secular, non-religious people take that out, well, the only thing that gives them importance and meaning is politics. And so that's why people are so worked up about the climate crisis, because if you think that's all there is, then you're going to worry if people say the world's going to end in the next 100 years.
Yes, they've replaced religion with science, unfortunately. I think that's a really interesting take on things. Okay, we are up against a break. Everyone stay with us. Should Christians vote? Why don't they? And how do we get them to vote? We'll talk about that next with Tommy Valentine of Catholic Vote. Welcome back. We're talking about getting Christians out of the pew and into the voting booth, and we're doing that right now with Tommy Valentine. He's the director of the Catholic Accountability Project at Catholic Vote. You can find out more about them by heading to catholicvote.org, and we'll link that up on today's show page, which is 14-42 on iSpyRadio.com. And so let's go ahead and start there, because we had asked our previous guest, Pastor Lou, about this. Should Christians vote?
Yes, without a question, and this is clear in Scripture. I think every Christian denomination teaches this. The Catholic Church is very strong on this issue. So we have a book called The Catechism, which is sort of a crash course through Catholic theology that covers everything from spiritual warfare, as we discussed before, and I meant to mention in the previous segment. If people are interested in that dimension of things, there's a podcast called The Exorcist Files by Father Carlos Martins, who is a trained exorcist. And it's told in a very edifying way from his case files that explains sort of theology behind that. And I think your listeners might actually get a lot of theological knowledge out of that. But the Catechism sort of walks through all the teachings of the Church. And the Catechism makes clear that it is the moral obligation of every Catholic and really every Christian to vote, to participate in government, because we can't just take this idea that, you know, I don't need the government, you know, I'm just going to focus on my own thing. The government's going to come for you no matter what. We've seen so many threats to religious freedom over the past couple decades, and especially in the last 10 years, that there's no excuse to sit it out. And I think people sort of, you know, I'm not a theologian, I'm not a biblical expert, and I don't pretend to be, but I think people sort of misinterpret Jesus' words in Scripture when he says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's. That's not permission to just wash your hands of government and politics, right? He wasn't saying that have nothing to do with this. He says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and that means you have an obligation to participate in government. And I think when Christians take a step back from politics, when they don't engage, when they don't participate, it encompasses everybody, right? Because we've all seen our children be subject to the influences of this world. And there's a saying that politics is downstream of culture, but I actually think it's the reverse. I think culture is downstream of politics, because politicians do follow the culture, but politics actually forms the basis in which culture exists, right? So if you don't have, if you have government policies that say, you know, people can, there's no prayer in schools, or pornography should be available to anyone even under 18, right? That's going to shape the culture, and that's going to shape our institutions, and that's going to affect our churches. So without question, there's no debate. Christians of all stripes must vote in every election.
Well, in terms of must voting, and I totally agree with you on that. You had, just to paraphrase here, you said it's really incumbent on Catholics, you know, based on doctrine, that they should be voting. Do you find that some of them still sit things out, though?
They do, unfortunately. We've done studies on the topic, and we found that even among Catholics who regularly practice, right, because there's a significant difference between anybody who self-identifies as a Catholic and those who actually practice, go to church regularly, engage in the sacraments. Even among those who practice regularly, there's still about 20 to 25, sometimes 30%, depending on the state, who don't get out and vote. And unfortunately, that's true across the board, right? So in the last election, I believe we were in the low 70s in turnout. And now this was a major presidential election in the middle of a pandemic. Nobody could escape the conversation of Trump versus Biden. And yet there was still a chunk of the population that simply did not get out to vote. So this is not unique to Christians. However, it's particularly incumbent upon Christians to get out and vote in greater numbers than the other side does. As we talked about, a lot of people on the left have made politics their religion. And in fact, one of the highest turnout groups in America in terms of voter participation is atheists, because they put increased importance on it because they feel it has more impact on their lives.
Sure.
So that means every Christian's got to get out to the polls. And so we work with Catholics around the country, and I know there are other groups out there that do the same with different churches, to really work on voter registration in churches. And a lot of what we found is that most people in a Catholic church are registered to vote. Where we really can increase the net vote is by doing sort of these absentee voter drives, right? And so I recognize there are different opinions about mail-in voting, but if the question is whether somebody's going to get out to the polls or not, you know, we'll take a mail ballot over, right, over no vote at all.
Right.
And so we actually print out absentee voter forms and supply them to a lot of parishes so that, and I think it's actually more beautiful that way, because they're going to church, they're practicing their faith, and then they're filling out a form to request a ballot in the church, right? So it's not that you check your politics at the door of the church, and it's not that you check your faith at the door of the polling place. Mm. They're both intertwined. And so that's something I would encourage your listeners, if your pastor is open to it, you know, we've only got a couple weeks left before this election, but ask if you can do an absentee voter drive in your parish and just have the forms ready for people to fill them out. We even have volunteers who will take the form to the county government office and submit it on the voter's behalf to ensure that that person gets out to vote. It's really important that we're engaged in our church and making sure that all our fellow churchgoers are voting.
I think that's great. I love that idea. You know, actually, let's take a break a little bit early, because I know this next question is going to take a bit to answer. So everyone stay with us. We'll wrap things up with Tommy Valentine of Catholic Vote. Stay with us. Tommy Tommy Valentine is the director of the Catholic Accountability Project at Catholic Vote, the nation's largest lay Catholic advocacy organization. You can find out more about them, the great work that they do, and see some of their videos as well. Head to CatholicVote.org. That's CatholicVote.org. And so in the time that we have left, you mentioned a really great idea about getting the vote out. And that's actually kind of, in a way, getting the vote in by having these absentee ballot drives there at the churches themselves. I just love that idea. But as far as what are some of the hot button issues that you find really help to motivate Catholics to get out there and want to vote?
Sure. Well, obviously, we talked about abortion, and we have a contrast between the Democrat ticket, which really does support abortion up until birth, despite Tim Walz's denials. That is what the law says in Minnesota, and that's what they're trying to enact in many other states. And, you know, the Trump campaign has not been as strong on the issue as their track record would prove in their first administration. Yes. So we have really worked with them and pushed them to speak out more strongly in favor of life. And I believe they are committed to the right to life, and I think there will be a net gain mm-hmm. for the pro-life movement. Obviously, religious freedom, we've seen the Biden administration and the Obama administration before it really go after people of faith, go after Catholic healthcare institutions for not engaging in abortion and transgender stuff and all the new horrors that the world has inflicted upon us. But then also just the kitchen table issues that everybody's talking about are also very important to Catholics. Immigration, the southern border, there's a lot of Catholics down along the Rio Grande who recognize the absolute humanitarian horror that's going on down on the border. There are things that I've heard from people in law enforcement and government that I won't even repeat on your air because, frankly, I don't know if it would get you fined in terms of the absolute disaster that's happening down there.
Yes.
Children are being trafficked across the border. Women are being trafficked across the border, and it doesn't end at the border, right? So when they're brought here, they don't speak the language. They're afraid to go to law enforcement. They typically don't have a job. So you're actually seeing that even in cities like Chicago, like Denver, like Northern Virginia, like New York, they're actually, these illegal immigrants are still under the thumb of the cartels because now they're in debt for getting over the border from the coyotes. And they don't have a job. They don't know how to speak the language. And so a lot of them are really under the thumb of these gangs. And so I think what we're talking about here is the sort of the second order effects of immigration, because the surface level compassionate thing to do that the left says is just to let them all in and claim asylum. Well, no, it actually might be worse for them here than it is in their home country. And so that's something we're calling attention to. And then obviously the economy. And there's a lot that the government can do to strengthen families. You know, we believe in small government, but we also recognize the importance of things like the child tax credit that can make it easier for families to have more children and to make it easier for moms to be able to stay home with their kids if that's what they want to do. And, you know, things like allowing tuition tax credits for kids, for parents who want to send their kids to Christian private schools. So we're concerned up and down the ballot. Obviously, the life issues, the human rights issues are at the forefront, and those take precedence over all else. And then the kitchen table issues flow down from that.
So one of the issues that you mentioned there was the transgender issues, and that's actually how you came to our attention, was an ad that you had tried to air on CBS News or CBS, and they wouldn't air it because it had to do with Kamala Harris's support for these transgender issues, including some, you know, mutilation of these kids. I'm just stunned that anybody would be okay with that. I mean, these are kids. These are innocent kids. These are not adults. I mean, if an adult wants to do that to themselves, then I guess, you know, go ahead and let them. But these are kids. And so as far as that ad was concerned, did CBS ever give you a reason as to why they wouldn't air that?
We asked and they wouldn't give us a reason. I mean, I think we all know what the reason is, but they just don't want the truth to get out. And you'll see what the left does is like the abortions up until birth, like the trans surgeries on kids. They deny it happens. It absolutely happens. And they know it's happening. They just don't want ordinary people to know about it. Because in fact, the trans stuff is actually where suburban women are really turned off by the Democrats. And so that's why you're seeing in a lot of the swing states an intense focus on men and women's lockers rooms and boys and girls sports. Because a lot of women who might be liberal on some of the other issues, they recognize that this is a matter of fairness. And this is a matter of safety for women. Now, there's been some more data that came out from a group called Do No Harm that publishes where exactly these interventions are being performed on children. And unfortunately, I'm guessing it's not a surprise, but Oregon is really a hotbed for these surgeries being yes. performed on children under 18, which is just reprehensible. Yeah. And so that's another reason why Christians got to get out and vote, because the Harris administration will make it so much easier for predatory doctors to do these mutilation surgeries on children, and they want the taxpayers yes. to pay for yeah. it.
And
so we're working very closely on that issue.
And they're not reversible either. So
right.
if Trump wins, with the help of RFK Jr., who is a Catholic, they have promised to make America healthy again. And I think that's great. I'm definitely all for that. But I think it's more than that, because your physical health, as important as it is only one part of your being. We also need to focus on our spiritual health. If Trump wins, I honestly believe that America might be heading for a huge spiritual revival, make America spiritual again. Do you see that too? And how do we move America back towards God and get to that revival that we need?
Yeah, it's interesting that you ask that, because there's actually a lot of people who feel that way. And in fact, the Catholic exorcists I mentioned earlier, there's a few of them who speak publicly. There's a lot who you'll never know they were an exorcist. But some of the chatter that I've heard in a speech I heard from one of them recently is that a lot of the exorcists are hearing that Satan and the demonic powers are actually saying that their time is running out.
Wow.
Now, you know, they operate on a different timeline than we do. That could mean 100 years. Who knows what that means? It's mysterious even to the priests doing these exorcists. But I do think something's got to give at some point, right? Is everybody has the sense that things are on the wrong track. Now, they don't necessarily see the solution the way that they should, but I think a lot of people understand that things have gone too far in this country. We've sort of lost our mooring. And even in Europe, I've actually heard that the Catholic Church in France, which France and the Catholic Church have a very complicated relationship, but that there's actually a very dynamic and growing young French Catholic population. A lot mm-hmm. of young people are turning back to the church.
Well,
seeing that with Gen Z too.
Yeah, that's what we heard. In fact, we had a guest on just recently that said that same thing. Unfortunately, we are up against the clock. Tommy Valentine of Catholic Vote, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That was very interesting about the exorcists saying that Satan and the demons believe their time is running out. Chilling, really, because if you remember a previous show of ours talking about the Essenes, who wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls, over 2,000 years ago, they predicted that right now, in the mid-2020s, we would be entering the final 50-year period, a jubilee period, of God's divine calendar. Plato, some 300 years before Christ, who lived in a democracy, said one of the penalties for refusing to participate in politics is that you end up being governed by your inferiors. Well, extrapolate that out to the church. One of the penalties for Christians refusing to participate in politics is that you end up being governed by atheists. Don't let God return, only to find you not participating. So get out there and let's win this. No excuses, because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.